Blog Talk Radio.
I feel like I'm at a campfire with all the static. Are you? What are you on?
I'm on my phone and my earplugs.
Hold on. Hit the brakes, dude. I don't know if it's gonna come out on the blog talk or whatever, but it is. It sounds like a campfire. Like we're sitting by. I got so much static in my headphones. Before we do the introduction, let me make it. Maybe we could do. I don't know if it's what's called GoFundMe, telethon, or whatever. You know, I went to the Cypress Swap Meet. Well, I didn't. My wife did, and she hooked me up with the mic and all that. Since the conception of the Pacific Wrestling Alliance, I've been telling Mike, you got to get a laptop. You got to get the stuff to it. So he actually has the microphone and everything, but it's here in my house. So I don't know. I don't know nothing from nobody, man. No, pretty soon, no English me you're speaking or whatever. But go ahead, Mike, bring us in.
Lord have mercy. Help him, Father. Help him. He know not. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Scoop Slam Radio. I am your host, Big Mike. And, of course, you just heard on the ones and twos, Fabi Chulo. Hello, Fabi.
I feel like this is what I feel like saying right now. And then this.
You have static, and I hear you perfectly.
It's quiet on my end. It sounds like I'm at the campfire, so I don't know what the heck is going on or whatever. It's my same equipment. I'm not plugged into the mixing board because, like I said before, I hit a button. I don't know what the heck happened or whatever. But it is like I'm sitting around the campfire. All I hear is the crackling. I feel like getting some weenies or marshmallows and do some roasting or whatever. But anyways, well, I'm clear on your end. Hopefully it's okay on the blog talk or whatever. But here's the thing, Mike. I'm going to do this real quick, and then I'm going to hand it over to you because I get a lot of emails and messages and all that, and they go, you know, you talk too much, bro. You got to let Mike talk or whatever. Isn't it his podcast? I said, well, he's the main man or whatever, but I'm trying to bounce some stuff off of him or whatever. So, okay, I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave the opening in your hands, my brother, and you can introduce the guest, and I'm just going to hand it over to you.
I don't need to do all of that. I don't know who's emailing you and who's telling you all this. I'm comfortable.
I would like to know who clams189@aol.com is or whatever, because I get a lot from them. Who knows who it is? But that's one of the main ones that it's been since the inception of the podcast. But,
oh Lord,
you know. Here's the thing, Mike. Talk about – well, first of all, in the second hour, because we usually go try to get MMA on here first, talk a little bit about that, jiu-jitsu, grappling, whatever, and then Mike hits up the pro wrestling section. But we got to kind of do it backwards because Lisa Marie – I don't know if it's Moldin or Moldin. I have to ask her, you know, because I don't want to butcher her name. She's supposed to come at the 8 o'clock hour. You know, of course, my fault. I couldn't get here last week. Or whatever. So she's like, yeah, no problem. You know, I'll come on next week. No big deal. We'll work it out. Okay, cool. So she's got a big fight coming up. So she can't come on till after 8. So I'm like, okay, cool. So we kind of reverse things. So Marvin, Mr. California, is going to be coming on in about the 7:15 mark. Now, here's the thing, Mike. We're talking about getting emails and talking about getting messages and stuff like. Everybody's like, why are you working this? Why are you working deathmatch light tubes? And I go, that's not me. I go, I had a deathmatch with Mr. California, but the main event is the deathmatch. you know, with the all the spikes and all the stuff like that. I said, the only reason that I'm so looking forward to this show is because Super Gabacho is somebody that I've known for years, 20 plus years in the business. We wrestled years ago, easily 20 years ago. And I'm like, well, dude, if he's totally down, absolutely. That was one of my last commitments, you know, since the retirement. So he's going to come on. That's why I'm doing the show and all that. And plus, it's a pretty decent card. You know, Kayam's going to be there. He's going to wrestle Metoric, who I was going to wrestle until Super Gabacho came around or whatever. So real quick, before we get Mr. California in here in about 10 minutes or whatever, give me your thoughts on that, because I'll do a death match. But when how it turned out, I ended up having the death match with Mr. California. And, dude, even Little Cholo, when I was at Relentless Pro, he comes up to me and goes, dude, did you have a death match with Kelly McKay? He goes, why? I'm like, because people said I can't or whatever. So give me your thoughts on that.
Well, actually, I wanted to go a totally different route here and ask you. This is, like, I'm throwing up air quotations, your last match, right?
Right.
How do you feel going into this? Knowing that after 30 plus years, this is it.
You're never out of the business, bro. I still work for a bunch of different companies, and I still help out and stuff like that. And I've been approached to do some managing type of stuff or whatever, only because I got a big mouth and just been in the business for so many years, and I kind of know what'll get this person over. What maybe if we do this with this person, you know? And as you know, as you and I have talked about in a lot of our meetings, that's going to come to fruition at the next PWA show. And when I first brought it to Mike, he's like, dude, I wish we had video, because you were just like shrugging your shoulder, like, you know, throwing your hands up. And I'm like, I'm telling you, dude, I'm telling you, this will work. This what I got planned is going to work. So we're not even going to divulge too much about it. It's going to be kind of a surprise, you know, as far as that concerned. Now, since we got Mr. California coming up, we'll talk some hardcore stuff. Talk a little bit about the show. You and I had a big meeting on Monday. We were tying up a lot of loose ends. I would say it's maybe 90% ready to roll. Mike?
Yeah, see, just so everybody gets an understanding, we've been marinating since February 10th, whatever the day was, we had our last show, and said we needed to, you know, pretty much solidify ourselves, and we have to have a belt. We gotta have a belt. And so our belt is being finished as we speak. And so July 13th, we're going to crown our first PWA heavyweight champion. And we're ready to expand, and start bringing everybody some good old-fashioned pro wrestling, if you will. And so, you know, it's we've been in the lab. You know, the good thing, you know, like we always talk about, they never know what's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, sorry, y'all, but it ain't your business what we talk about. And so what we got planned, what we got going on, it's going to be something special. It's going to be awesome. And
yeah,
we're going to be putting some programs together, and we're going to start doing some stuff, and we're going to start showing who we really are, because now we can shift into second gear now that we'll have whomever will be the hood ornament of the company
right.
is going to have a belt to wear.
Right.
So that everybody sees who we are, what we are, and what we're all about.
But Mike, when we talk about that, it's not like, you know, we say it so often. They don't, like, some of the stuff we can divulge, it's going to be outside. So we want to make sure, you know, it looks like. So we're talking about the lights, and do we get two or do we get four, and are we going to tilt them up so that the, you know, the lighting is here, and, you know, we got to go meet when it's getting dark so we can see exactly how it's going to be, and stepping off 16 by 16 feet, you know, just to make sure, every, you know, people don't see that. You know, they don't see, well, we might have to buy another banner to put here because the guys are going to be here. It's just, it's a lot. You know, I mean, if you just want to, if you just want to rent a ring and throw some wrestlers in there, yeah, but I mean, if you want to do it right, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, well, you know, when I say that, it's not the business. I don't mean it in a harsh way. It's
right.
We want to put on the best show possibly can all the way around. And that from bell to, from first bell to the last bell. But it's also the atmosphere that we create. So we want to make sure that the fans' experience is something that will want them, that they'll want to come back. That they'll experience it. They'll want to come back. They'll want to bring other people. Because name of the game is putting butts in seats.
Right.
You know, and it's not just the wrestlers getting over and the wrestlers bringing the fans back, but the fans being comfortable about where they are. You know, all this, we have parking. They got tacos, they got beer, they got snacks, they got everything that we want. And you know, we still try to think about things, how to do things that could bring, you know, more kids. You know, because when you start talking about the shows, you know, they don't understand it. We talk about demographics, the age groups, and stuff like that. Well, what will bring the kids in? What will do this? And what they don't know that, so they wouldn't. I won't say they wouldn't understand it, but it's a part of the business that, you know, we leave to ourselves because that's for us to plan.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we should put it out there, and that may start a chat. What do you want to see at a show, fans? What do you want to see at a show? Tell me what would be, tell us what would be an ideal setting for you at a wrestling show. Because you guys, if you guys bring ideas to us, we can sit back and we can look at them, and then we can start picking out which ones we think will really work. You know what I mean, Dave?
Yeah, so I hear you. But not only that, Mike, but it's not like we have all this okay, since we've had Uriah Faber on, and since we've been, you know, really moving forward with the podcast, you know, Lansing Jiu-Jitsu wants us to come down, do a live broadcast. The ratings for Lansing Jiu-Jitsu, when we had them on, were the highest we've ever had. So they have a huge following. So we want to keep going with that. And then Fitlosophy, he hits me up, hey, bro, you know, come on down. You know, we're waiting for you. You know, bodybuilding, powerlifting, you know, that all coincides with wrestling because everybody wants to look good or whatever. So it just continues, you know, and we only have so much. You know, Mike's going to be gone for a week. So we want to try to have as much wrapped up before he's gone so that we can just push the play button. So there's just a lot that goes into it, man, that people just don't understand. So we will divulge stuff like that, you know, because we're steadily working to bring you a show that's going to be off the chain. I mean, that's what we're talking about. But, Mike, let me go ahead and let me go ahead and take the break. Let me get Marvin, well, Mr. California, on the line. We'll talk a little bit about this. And then after we talk about the show, I want to run something by you and him and just give me your thoughts on that. So let me take that quick break, Mike, and we'll come back and we'll do that. How's that?
Right on.
This reminds me of when we were at the Palladium, Mike and I, and I think it was Body Count and the Ramones. And some big white dudes wanted to start a fight with us. I was greener than grass, paying my dues, and Mike was already a well-seasoned veteran. And they said they were going to come back and beat us up. And Eddie goes out to the car, gets a duffel bag, and comes out with this. And I turned into Instant Rain Man. Oh, God. Oh, God. We'll be right back.
Soundstripe.
friends out there. You're here. You're at Scoop Slam Radio. Don't forget you can check out two scoops of Scoop Slam every Tuesday. How about that? From 7 to try to go till about 8:30 or whatever. Y para toda la gente mexicano, bienvenidos. And to my Filipino fans, I'll speak to you in Tagalog. Kumasta, kumasta pokayo. Ako po si Daniel. Hindi ako marunong mag Tagalog. I speak a little bit this one. So if you want to check it out, but let me tell you something. It used to be all Mexicans, you know, when you in the medical field, but there are so many Filipinos. 31 years in the medical field. I work with so many. We're either eating carnitas and carnasada or we're eating pancet and balut. And you know, so that's why I'm 285 pounds, dude, because they bring all that stuff to work. But
this is the first time since I know you, and this is almost 32 years, that I have ever heard you speak Filipino.
Oh, yeah. Tagalog. I work with them all. But, okay, real quick for the people listening, like I was saying, you're here, you're at Scoop Slam Radio, and on the line with us right now, Mr. California. Mr. California, let me say hello first before I get into my question. Real quick, Mike, say hi to Mr. California.
What up, Mr. California? How you doing, man? I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing fine. How about yourself? Yeah. Oh, man. I cannot lie.
Here's the thing.
That's good.
Okay. Big show coming up. It's XWW. It's going to be May 25th, okay, which is my 33rd wedding anniversary. So that alone, you know, it's like, dude, it cost me two coach purses. It cost me a trip to Chile and a trip to Tom Tom in West Hollywood, you know, because that's my anniversary. So to be able to get that date off, right? But, I got to be honest, dude. It's going to be a Saturday, May 25th. It's going to be at Delo Jiu-Jitsu, where a lot of people have the shows. I mean, it's like starting to become the capital of Orange County. It's at 8381 Catella Avenue in the city of Stanton. Door's going to be at 6 o'clock. First bell's going to be at 7. Now, before we get into it, because there's a lot I want to talk about, okay, I'm going to take this around the horn, and I'm going to start with myself, because I've seen a lot of death matches on TV, okay? I know you got to be kind of like, especially AEW, WWE with their ladder matches against the kid, but I'm going to be honest, dude. I thought one of the best death matches that I've seen on TV had to be Dr. Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, because the whole fact that I didn't think they were going to take those big bumps in the thumbtacks, and they took them. You know, they did a lot of stuff that I didn't think that they were going to do. I thought they were going to be kind of tender, but they went, I mean, balls out Rambo. I thought that was maybe in the top three of one of the death matches that I've seen, you know, especially on regular TV or cable TV or whatever. So let's take it around the horn. We'll start with our guest, Mr. California, who has a little experience in the death matches. What about you, Marvin?
What death match do you think is the top in national TV?
Yeah, one, two, where you watch it went, God dang, that was crazy.
Well, I think the one I'm gonna throw at you, it goes way back in town, brother. It'll have to be Cactus Jack versus Randy Orton. That match will ever stand in my book as what Randy Orton signifies as a third generation wrestler, and Cactus Jack, Mick Foley, been around the world. 1995, you know, the death matches, brother. The first ever IWA Japan with him and Terry Funk, rest in peace, his soul, Terry Funk. But Cactus Jack took it to the limits with Randy Orton, right? When Randy Orton did that RKO and he threw him off and he landed on a bunch of thumbtacks, that was real crazy.
Face first. Face first. I mean, that was
back
at that
face
was
first,
pretty
brother,
hard.
He did both.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, what about
that
you?
That to me was... That's death match. It has to be a death match.
Yes.
I don't think you like them. I don't think you like death match. I remember watching Marta Villalobos in the cage.
Yeah.
And bleeding all over.
That's Bobby's girlfriend.
Yeah. But she's not scared.
Any of this.
No,
but,
no fear.
Death match. You know what? On TV. Mm, I'd have to go with Terry Funk and Sabu when Sabu.
Oh, ECW.
Sabu opened up his mic.
And they had to tape it up.
And they just taped it up. Yeah, that was crazy.
And then he said he got tired of waiting to go to the hospital to get stitches, so he just started using crazy glue.
Nowadays, if you want to see, death matches, like I was telling you the other day, Bobby, my boy is a part of Circle Six.
Right.
And Circle Six is ridiculous. Shout out to the boys from Circle Six, because they go ham, bro. I mean, they brought Tanaka out.
Masato?
And Masato Tanaka. And they had him wrestling in a parking lot at a bar up in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And they tore the place down. It was crazy.
Well,
so,
I got to tell you, man, that the last, because Marvin and I had a death match, and we went at it pretty good. But when he went against Ravia from Tijuana, I was honestly entertained because, Eddie was doing construction, and he had some shower doors. And, Marvin, he's like, hey, bro, what are you going to do? I'm going to throw my – all right, dude, I want him. I want him for the death match. So I go, okay, cool. So they set the shower door up in the corner. And Ravia reversed Marvin. Marvin went head first into the shower. But when I was watching him, when he made that turn and hit it, there's only a small space between, like there's a big bar in the middle and then there's a top and the bottom.
Yeah.
And Marvin went through the top. So the top of it hit him right in the back of the head. And it crushed him up like an accordion, and you can see that face. I go, "Fuck up him!" Like he just dropped it in his face, and I went, "Oh shit!" Because he threw him so hard, he couldn't get his footing. You know what I mean? He was just 100 miles an hour, and he was trying to get his footing. So when he made the turn and busted the glass, the frame crunched him, like an acordeado or whatever. So I was like, that was a good one. That was worth me getting dressed to come out here and go see it. So real quick before we talk about Crazy Frank, talk a little bit about that, Marvin, because I know, dude, the back of your head had I don't want to say a knot because it went all the way across, but like a big bump. It looked like a patch on the back. Tell me about that.
Ravia is a good wrestler, man. He actually knows how to wrestle. Chain wrestle, whatever you want to call it. He got some history on him. He got trained by Rey Mysterio Sr. back in TJ, brother. So he has the experience. Rey Mysterio Sr. trained a lot of guys. So he trained Ravia, and he actually gave him the name Ravia. So Ravia is really an underrated wrestler from TJ and Rosarito area. So I got booked in Rosarito for this company called Lucha Libre Rosarito Independiente. They're a company out there. They're called, I guess in Spanish, they're called the Molero. Molero means like they're like, they have no rules. They do whatever the fuck they want. I'm sorry my language, but they do whatever the hell they want. So then I got contacted by the promoter. He brought me out there, and I had a three-way versus Ravia. First time I met Ravia. And a kid is really lighting up in the scene right now. Wrestles for The Crash. He works for a lot of companies out there. And TJ, his name is Gallo Extremo. Gallo Extremo is a real, real good wrestler. So we did a three-way, and we just tore the house up, man. We had a shower. We had window plane glass. We had shower doors. We had barbed wire baseball bats. We had cactus. We had thumbtack. You name it. We had freaking weed whackers. We had it all. You know what I'm saying? And it was outdoors. It was outdoors. You know what I'm saying? So it made it more crazy when we did our thing. That's the first time meeting those guys. I never heard of Ravia, and I never heard of Extreme Gravel, but they definitely heard of me. They knew who I was. They studied me. The guy who's grandma was kind of intimidated by me, you know what I'm saying? Because I saw his look when we were back there, you know what I'm saying? And then when we got into the ring, he really, really wasn't selling my stuff. So I really had to stiff him, you know what I mean, and give it to him, you know what I mean? But I told him, you know what I mean? And me and Ravia, like, jumped him in a couple – if you see – that match is actually up on YouTube, if you look it up. And we actually jumped him in quite a bit. And then – but then the kid came back and started doing the selling and everything going back and forth. But it was real brutal match. But if you talk about that match in Hawaiian Gardens between me and Ravia, you know what I'm saying? He he threw me, and I hit the back of my head. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? But it was so fast. It was so fast when he hit me. I turned real quick, but the back of it hit me. You know what I'm saying? When, or actually, I was going to go, like, back first to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dang. But, well, look, I want to get to Crazy Frank, but after Marvin and I had the death match or whatever, and I took the bump and the thumbtacks and all that, and we're talking smack in the back, and he goes, well, you want a rematch? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know what? And you go, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's separate the men from the boys. We'll have a death match, but all we're wearing is shorts. No boots, no knee pads, no shirt, no nothing, just shorts. And then we'll separate the men from the boys. And I'm like, go ahead on with your bad self. Let me know how that goes. that's when you separate the men from the boys. You go in a match with thumbtacks and glass and light tubes, and all you have on is a pair of shorts. You're not going to work for a couple of days. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm a little bit too old for that. Go and do your thing. So now we talk about Crazy Frank. We were at the Lucha Libre Alliance show, and I'm talking to him, and he goes, yeah, man, you think Gravia's crazy? Wait, she's Crazy Frank. He goes, he might try to throw me off the roof. I don't know, you know, whatever. So talk a little bit about Crazy Frank, because that's a big match that's coming. That's going to be the main event for XWW Pro. It's going to be Saturday, May 25th at Del O Jiu-Jitsu. It's at 8381 Catella Avenue in the city of Stanton. Doors are at 6. Bell time is 7 p.m. Make sure you come down and check it out. Now, real quick, Marvin, before you get to Crazy Frank, are they going to move the ring all the way outside, or is it going to be half inside and outside like it usually is?
Oh, it's going to be inside. I mean, no, it's not going to be
half
inside.
And half?
It's going to be inside.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah, because
like,
they open up a big roll door. Yeah.
Try to work out the whole 60W show. It's the same thing. Something like that.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about Crazy Frank. Cause when you look at the flyer, all you see is just them skewers hanging out of his head like a mohawk.
That Crazy Frank has been around for at least 16 years, and he has a company out in TJ too. It's called La Casa de Extremo, you know, the House of Hardcore.
Yeah.
Him, Medio Extremo, Cipico, they were like, I guess, a group, you know, guys that formed that company, and they've been
right.
doing a lot of things out there, at tournaments and back and forth. People like Brilliant Jack, people like Arrow Boy, all those guys, you know what I mean, they came through that stuff too. They did all that. So, I mean, I wrestled many times in TJ and those people. I ran into Crazy Frank a couple times, but we never locked horns. We never wrestled. And this has been brewing in the pot, you know, for a while. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, like, the time is now. It's not a better time. I've been doing this for 24. Crazy Frank's been doing it for almost 15, 16 years. And I think we're two crazy SOBs. They have no limits to our body, and
yeah.
we'll do anything to satisfy the fans, make them cringe, make them look the other way, and I think me, Crazy Frank representing Tijuana, Mexico, me representing Pasadena, California, crashing in one that same night, May 25th, is gonna be insane, crazy stuff, man. It's gonna be Lucha Extrema, like they like to call it in Mexico, and it's gonna be all deathmatch, crazy stuff, brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I look forward to that, but real quick, hey, Mike, let me make a quick service message to our sponsors and our management. Real quick, House of Hardcore, Taz, that was not us. That was Mr. California or Crazy Frank. Didn't ECW Dojo used to be called House of Hardcore?
Yeah, they did, actually. That was the right school, actually. Yeah, but that was 1995, 1996, brother. You know what I mean? Now we're in 2024. It's dead.
They
know?
Done folded.
Yeah, but you know, no disrespect to it, but you know how Mexicans, they steal things, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Gimmick.
Yeah.
No such thing as gimmick infringement, you know? Hey, but,
yeah,
Mike.
You know how
you
do it, man.
Real quick, Mike, you know, when you, even though you have an extreme show and company, it's kind of like, well, since we're talking about ECW, they not only had, you know, extreme matches, but one of the first that brought the luchadores over, and, you know, and Benoit and Eddie Guerrero. So, you know, that's how you mix it up. So the lucha match is going to be Gayam against Metoric, who I was going to wrestle on the card, but then when we found out Gabacho wanted the match, you know, I said, yeah, definitely, because it's been 20 years in the making. So Gayam against Metoric, that kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, tastes everybody's palate. Now they're going to get to see some good lucha, and then you got Volkan Jr. against Hades. Now, to me, Volkan Jr., very underrated. So when I saw that he put him against Hades, I said, okay, look, that's going to be a good dance partner for him. So let's see, you know, let's see how that works out or whatever. Well, now, so was that your mindset when you put those two matches together, Marvin?
Well, I mean, I've been in a ring with both of those gentlemen. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Ray Volkan Jr. is a second-generation wrestler. His father, Ray Volkan Sr., and I also been in a ring with. I dance with both of them. So yeah. he's a bigger guy. He has the speed. He has the lucha style. And in Hades, is a guy that I also have wrestled many a time, is a veteran of the game, been around for a long time, you know, has the base, has the lucha experience, you know what I'm saying? So we put it together and let's see what it comes out to. But I think it'll be going to be a good lucha straight match, you know what I'm saying?
I like it. And now, I'm familiar with Red Eagle, but Kid Knight, I'm not too familiar with. So tell me a little bit about Kid Knight.
Kid Knight is originally he wrestles for Martin Marine, WCW. You know, it still exists, Martin. You know, probably we
uh-huh.
went back with Martin
many years.
He does a lot of stuff for him. He actually took a hiatus and he actually came back. Last time I think Kid Knight was at El Fuso's a benefit show they did. You know, I was there and I saw him and he gave me a hug and he shook my hand. He's like, hey, man, long time no see, Mr. California. I was like, yeah, long time no see. But you're still working him up? He's like, not really, but I just came back on the scene. So I offered him a job, you know, and then that's how we are. We're in May 25th. That's what we're doing now, you know what I'm saying? But he's a good wrestler. He's been around for a long time. He has several different other gimmicks, but I like the Kid Knight look. He has the lucha gimmick with the American-style lucha style, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has, you know what I mean? And then Red Eagle, a guy that's a stranger from San Diego, California. You know, he came from the school of SoCal Pro. He's where he came from, and he's been around for a long time. I also been in the ring with that guy. He's a hard-hitting guy, bigger guy, about six feet, you know what I mean? He can go.
Yep. Well, with that being said, Super Gabacho's coming down. And Mike, there was a documentary. We talk a lot about life behind the mask. And there's a documentary. Mike, are you in a wind tunnel, dude? Are you at a house party? What's going on, man? I hear. Is that you, Marvin? What are you, at the club?
No, man. No club, man.
I hear cats meowing in the background. I hear wind tunnel.
I hear.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. So there was a documentary, and it was funny because you're talking about Martin Marin, and he had they were showing the behind the scenes with Gabacho, you know, and his day job and stuff like that. I can't remember the name. So when I see him at this show, I'm gonna get the name of it.
I can refresh your memory. I don't remember the name, but it was three people in that. If you remember, it was Super Gabacho, Hardcore Kid, and New York Nikki. Remember her?
Yes, that's it.
Wow.
Remember
that one? Mike's the Hardcore Kid. Remember that guy?
I'll get the name of it. I'll get the name of it so we can pull it up because it was really interesting. It showed a lot of behind the scenes stuff. But
actually, the guy that did that documentary was a friend of his, you know, and followed Super Gabacho, follow Hardcore Kid, and follow Hardcore Knockout Nikki. Follow them into their life.
It was good. We'll have to.
You remember
that?
You remember that?
Yeah. Dude, we were, Sergio and I, the Unholy, were traveling somewhere. Oh, I think we were going to Vegas for Tap Out. And he had it. And we were watching it in the hotel room. And we were just, I mean, it was one of the first documentaries that showed a lot of behind the scenes stuff and all that. And it was really cool. So I gotta get the name of that from Gabacho so we can see. But that's, Mike and I were talking in the opening because I'm an old man, dude. I'm so beat up. I mean, it takes me forever just to get to the work. But when he, and you can ask Marvin, we were at Lucha Libre Alliance, and he goes, no, he's coming. I said, dude, don't play with me. If he's coming, man, I want that match. I'm telling you, bro, he's coming. So that's over 20 years, you know, since him and I wrestled. So I'm definitely looking forward to that match. I'm actually, you know, getting in shape. I haven't had no tacos de carnitas, no carne asada, no nothing. So, you know, because I don't want to look like a fool.
You better get ready for the high-flying superhero, you know, Super Gabacho, man.
I'll just pull a Joe and just walk away and just let him hit the...
That's right. When he does the high-class body, move out the way, dude.
Yeah, but, you know, I got to tell you, here's the thing, because we're running up against the clock, but I've been in this business forever, and it's funny because when I was talking to Mike when we were at the meeting on Monday, you know, I've known Marvin for years. I mean, since way back in the day, I was telling him how on my YouTube channel, It was probably 15, 16 years ago when we cut that promo when nobody, they were scared of Marvin and they didn't want to use him at Battleground. And I said, dude, let's shock the people. And we cut a video that got a lot of hits, right. You know, and a lot of people were, that didn't think it was going to happen, but they didn't because Battleground didn't want to do it. But anyways, and then when I was talking to Mike, Mike's been around since the days of Antonio over there at All Nations. Oh, and when I thought about it, I said, dude, that was a Superboy was over there. Chris Daniels, Chris Jericho, you know, back in the day. So one of the parts, and this is probably, I mean, I know I'm an old man. I'm a grizzled old man and all that. But I enjoyed, like when we're talking about Martin Marin, just the camaraderie. Like we kick, like even when I see Marvin, all we talk about is like, you know, the Bronx Bomber showing the song to the guys in BJ or you know, making BJ Darden ride in the back of the truck all the way.
Talking about Kiss and Charisma.
Yeah, talking about Kiss and Charisma. We shot a promo there too. You know, just hanging out and having a good time. You know, to me, that's what it's all about. Because to me, I mean, I know things evolve, and it's business, and you're trying to make money and or whatever, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I'll tell you right now, Marvin, Michael Parks is a good example of what we're talking about, because when the Headhunters came down I wrestled against them, Mike was with me, and Martin's wife said, hey, man, I'm going to have a big dinner at the house if you guys want to come down. And I was like, dude, you ain't even got to tell me twice. We'll be there. So we went, and she made, like, pot roast and potatoes. And I mean, it's really nice dinner. And the Headhunters walk in, and they see the dinner, and they go, we don't eat that. Can somebody take us to McDonald's? And, Mike, you remember we looked at each other and said, dude, I'll take both their portions, man. Don't you?
Exactly. I mean, it was disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm being dead serious because, you know, she busted her butt to make
Oh, yeah. Dinner. Yeah, it was a whole dinner.
To enjoy. And they walked in, and they're like, nah, we don't eat this. And somebody took us to McDonald's, and, you know, Father and I looked at each other like, are you crazy?
But we had a good time. Because, Mike, it was me, you, Little Cholo, OG Playboy. Yep. He was there. He was like 15 years old or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Martin and his two sons and even his daughter.
Silver
we all
Tiger.
Sat. Yeah, and we had, you know, we had dinner and we just BS'd and had a good. The Headhunters ate like two big dog food bags full of McDonald's and they were snoring so loud. They were upstairs. I thought they were cutting the trees outside or something, but we ended up good. Let them go to sleep. We ended up having a really, and that's what I miss. You know what I mean? We all just used to hang out and have a good time. You know, hey, Martin used to pay me a meatball sandwich. I could care less, bro. I just enjoyed, you know, or cookies or a T-shirt or whatever. But I had a good time, man. I just the camaraderie, which now, Marvin, you're still around and stuff that you kind of don't see that anymore. I mean, when you and I are there, of course, because we're talking about all kinds of stuff, but that's a big part of it, right?
Yeah, but you know, what's funny that you bring all that up, you know what I'm saying, with you, Mike, and all that stuff. That don't happen no more. All these up-and-coming guys now, they just want to go to the show, get wrestle, get paid, and leave. They don't want to hop on with anything no more, brother. You know what I'm saying? They're, hey, break down the ring, and they take off, you know what I mean? They sneak out through the back. They don't want to do that no more. They're not old school no more, you know what I'm saying? And stuff like that, you brought up about the Headhunters and all that, people won't do that no more, you know what I mean? They don't want to go, hey, let's go, let's all of us just go hang out after the show, you know, to the house and cook some meat. No, they won't do that, bro. They won't do that no more.
And you see a lot of people out of their element, you know, because I used to work a lot for Martin, and he'd bring, like, El Hijo del Santo and Blue Panther, and, you know.
I did, too, man, for a long time.
Yeah, and even Mike, when Antonio used to bring all the guys, and they'd stay at James Macias' house, and we'd go over there and just get hammered. I mean, you don't see that anymore. So, you know, I'm glad that we can talk about that or whatever, because that's the part of the business that I enjoy the most, just hanging with the fellas and talking.
Talk about hardcore and death matches and all that. Remember that one time at NTW, it was me and Biggie Bigger against you and the Holy, and you found a big thing of barbed wire in a fucking yard sale?
Yeah. Dude, that was like in Pacoima. That was way out there in Pacoima or something like that. Dude, that was crazy. Dude, we've been around for a long time. But anyways, look at, I'm going past my time. I got to take a break. But anyways, real quick for the people listening, if you want to go check it out, it's Saturday, May 25th, XWW. It's going to be Adelo Jiu-Jitsu. It's at 8381 Catella Avenue in the city of Stanton. The door's going to open at 6, bell time is at 7. I highly recommend that you come, not only the death match, but good lucha matches. 20 years in the making, me and Gavacha are going to go at it again. Going into the twilight of my career or whatever. So definitely come down and check it out. And now is it XWW capital letters for your social media?
Instagram is XWW.pro, and for Facebook it's Facebook.XWWpro.
XWW. Okay, and I'll give that out at the end of the show so the people can check it out. All right, man. Hey, Marvin, I appreciate you coming on, man, so we can promote this. I always have a good time, you know, BSing around and talking and then giving the people a show.
Thank you for letting me on. Come on and push it.
Yeah, and just surprising people, because people are like, dude, it's that surprise element. Oh, dude, you know, 20 years in the making? Oh, there's lucha? Oh, they're going to be sticking skewers in Crazy Frank's head or whatever. Let's go down and check
surrenders
it out.
And a shitload of thumbtacks, but I'm talking about 50,000 probably around there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, Marvin, I'll talk to you soon, man. For the people listening, don't forget XWW Pro. It's going to be a huge show. I'll make sure we talk about it at the end of the show so you guys can check out the website, in the social media. Marvin, I'll see you soon. All right, my man?
All right, brother. Have a good night, man. Thank you.
When Marvin gets those skewers in his head, this is what it's going to sound like. We'll be right back. Let's hit them all.
Why, hello there, and welcome.
you know, Mike, it's a different show when I have that board, and I just, you know, I press one button, don't know what I did, but, you know, I haven't had a chance to plug it up and make sure, you know, it's probably just one little thing I got to click on, and it's good to go, because there's so much different stuff on there, it's funny. So, what do you call us? Okay, that's Marvin still going on. You know, we got about 15 minutes till we can get Lisa Marie in here, so I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully she's able to pick up, because not only talking about PFL, but up next fighting, because her fighter won with a spinning back fist that was so loud that I heard it from the back. But you kind of get what I'm saying, Mike, about that surprise element, because I didn't think Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa were going to go for it like they did, but they kind of had that match like they had a chip on their shoulder. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you know, people think we're girls and we're gonna be half stepping, but they should have had Big Daddy Kane. Ain't no half stepping, and then Baka, let's, you know, take them off. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Oh no, I totally get what you're saying. I believe, even though there's a renaissance of women's wrestling today, they still don't get the respect that they ought to, you know, that they ought to receive. And they probably decided in the back, you know, hey, we're going to tear the house down. So no holds barred. Whatever happens, happens. But we're going to go out there and we're going to put on a show. And they did.
Yeah.
They really did.
I was, for lack of a better term, I was kind of like proud. I was like, dude, like, you know, you stand up and go, and you cut, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I wish I had the board. I could hit the applause button or whatever. But, you know, I was just pleasantly surprised. And then Kenny Omega and John Moxley had a pretty good death match, because they were whacking each other with those barbed wire bats and actually drawing blood, you know, the hard way. So then it's like, oh, they're going at it. So when you see that, you're like, oh, man, they're going balls out Rambo. So to me, and it's an ongoing thing or whatever, there's a place for death matches or whatever, but like Sabu said, you know, the end can't come every day. You kind of have to build up to it or whatever, which Mike, is it okay if I do another service message real quick?
Yeah.
And we'll probably have him on pretty soon because Guyam is in the world title tournament, which is huge. So, you know, you got to give somebody who's been around that long or whatever, you got to give him his props. But I just want to say one thing, okay? I been driving around the last couple of days or whatever, and I go, you know, I can't let it go, man. You know, he beat me not once but twice in end of the world matches. You know what I mean? And then, you know, I had the Rudo Ram gimmick, and he took my mask, and, you know, and I'm like, you did. There's that one thing in your back, and I said, dude, I cannot let that go. But I know him. He's going to go, bro, you got to go to the back of the line. And in my mind, I'm thinking I'm driving because I'm driving in traffic because, dude, you come from Torrance, it sucks. And I'm thinking, I'll go through everybody in Lucha Libre Alliance. If I have to throw Maligno out a window or whatever to get, I got it. Guyam and Enigma de Oro gave myself and Sergio the Unholy a beating in Long Beach. I mean, we never forgot that. Not, you know, they didn't punch and kick us, but they put it on us, bro. I mean, that was like one of the first matches I got, and I was sore the next morning, and it took everything I had to, you know, to go to work and all that, and we never got the rematch. So I've had a ton of matches with Guyam, but I still haven't got the upper hand. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, my question is, cause, you know, he mentioned it in the match with him when Rudo Ram, that he doesn't have much longer.
Right.
He's going to be hanging it up soon.
Right,
so
right.
Whatever you're going to do, you better get it in now, because both of you are going to be losing your shoes in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna have to do another quick service message. Almighty Sheik, Joseph D. Cabibo, I need an in service on how to throw a fireball. So come down to my house, bro. Let me help me out with one of them fireballs. I hit him with a fireball. I had him on the show one time, and he's like, "Bro, you and I should go at it one sometime." And I go, "Dude, I don't want to get hit by a fireball." He started laughing. I think Jessica was with me too. She started laughing. She said, "Yeah, you hit you with a fireball, like, yeah, right in your face." So,
yeah,
anyways,
just,
that's
funny.
Go ahead.
I just saw a video of the original Sheik. He was wrestling this big fool up dude, and the dude was getting in the ring. Dude, and I mean just in the face. And you saw the smoke just leave. And he just walked away. I'm like, dude, you actually see the fireball in his face.
Yeah.
Not a couple feet away from him, no.
Lit him up.
He lit his ass up.
We got a few minutes until I'm going to give Lisa Marie the text to see if she's going to be able to call in. We'll talk a little bit about her up next fighting and also the PFL regular season. It's kind of weird. That concept is like it says regular season, so I guess you get a certain amount of wins. They put you in a tournament, and then they have like a tournament style thing for like, I think, $1 million at the end or whatever. But, you know, since they've merged with Bellator, that's kind of what I want to ask. I mean, do you go to Ray Cepho and talk to him, or do you go to what's his name that used to own or whatever? So those are some interesting things that I would like to find out. But anyways, before we get to that,
is it
what? Dude, you are so muffled. I cannot even hear you, bro.
The Zuffa brothers. Do you remember them?
Can you pull one of your... are you on your AirPods?
No, can you hear me now?
Oh, now I can hear you. What are you doing, man? You taking a bath?
No, I had both my
AirPods.
You're going
to water? Now I can hear you. I'm sorry, the Rufio brothers?
Zuffa.
Oh, yes. Oh, they sold that a long time ago.
No, but I'm saying, do they still have a hand in him?
No, man. They made their money and done moved on or whatever. They sold it for $1 billion something, so they're good to go. But before we get to that, Mike, real quick, I just want to talk about this real quick because we only got a short amount of time. This is what kind of makes me mad. Okay, they wanted to put – I can't remember. I was watching SmackDown or whatever. They wanted to put somebody over. I can't remember who it was. And, of course, they break out Legado de Fantasma or whatever. And they're putting the boots to him and they're – you know, all that. And then they have to put him over. You know, when is this what is this going to? Nakamura had to put over that Russian kid or whatever. I mean, is it to me, it seems like it's a thing like, I run this place, so this is what you're going to do. And this is what – and then give me your thoughts on this. I don't like that, dude. I don't like squash matches, and I don't like stuff like that where you just kill him and the other guy gets no offense whatsoever, because then that waters down your product and makes it seem like, well, these guys aren't no good. Well, then why are they in WWE? You know what I'm saying? Like, you never see that in New Japan. They when two wrestlers wrestle in New Japan, they're both either on the same level or somebody's maybe a little bit better, or it's a young boy that's still looking pretty strong as he's paying his dues, right?
Yeah, but it's hard to equate the two, because with WWE, you have pretty much, you have three different brands. You know, you got your Raw, you got your SmackDown, you got your NXT. And although NXT is good by itself, they have to start bringing those people from NXT up to the main roster. And you can't bring them up there and then have them lose, can you?
Why not?
Then why bring them up?
I mean, do they have to? It can't be a DQ. It can't be a 15-minute time limit. It can't be somebody comes in and screws it up. Like, they had Bronson Reed, Chad Gable, and somebody else. They had a three-way dance or whatever. No, actually, it was Chad Gable against Bronson Reed, and then Sammy, what's his name, came in and broke it up. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, at least they didn't crush him. And they did a finish. Now they're going to do a three-way at Backlash or wherever they're going to or whatever. And that's what I'm talking about. But just completely squashing somebody means that you brought up a wrestler that's no good. And you're giving him a paycheck that's just getting squashed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. I go back to how do I put it? They're not old, so I can't say the old guard. But I can't. But when you talk about Dragunov, right? He's legit. All you gotta do is go back and look at his matches with Walter. Those are some of the most brutal matches I've ever seen. Those guys went at it, and he's been the same. So it's like, You know he's messed up. They can't keep him down to NXT all, you know, for the rest of his career. They got to bring him up, but when they bring him up, they can't have him getting beat up, because then you buried his image, you buried his brand. What are you gonna do with him then? You bring him up and you bring him up to get beat. Now what are you gonna do with him?
I don't like it. I like the New Japan style, because name me one wrestler in New Japan that's not a badass. You know, they have a few light heavyweights that are kind of like a tad bit of a comedy gimmick, but they're still strong.
Okay, but the difference between New Japan and WWE, New Japan doesn't have the roster WWE does. Not even close. And with that being said, having that roster is a plus and a minus, because you still have to cater to people. So especially the old ones that are still there. Your Randy Ortons.
You know, boring.
I didn't know he was 275 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He got up there, but you know, you have those guys. Even the mid getting older guys like Ricochet.
Yeah.
You know, Ricochet just got beat the other night by dragging off an ad. That was a pretty good match.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't put dragging off in there against Chad Gable and Chad Gable get beat up, because then you're not going to destroy Chad Gable like that.
Okay, so Nakamura's on a lower level, and he gets to get beat? Come on, man. He's a former IWGP champion and one of the baddest companies going today. I mean, come on, man. It just don't make any sense. It just, to me, I wouldn't want to be a wrestler that gets my fit. That's like, okay, I hate to say it because, you know, there's a specific wrestler that I used to wrestle with who had another wrestler with him who was his friend, who was four times smaller than him, that used to beat him from here to TJ to Calimex to wherever, Mexicali or whatever, and they would go, oh, he's so great and everything. Yeah, because you're wrestling a dude that's the size of my nephew. You know what I mean? And that's how you get to, that's what I'm talking about. For whatever. I never went to WWE. I never hit the big time. I never had these big paydays. But let me tell you something. I wrestled all the dudes that people didn't want. Like Matt Sinister, when I was in Rev Pro. Oh, he's too big. No problem. Death Certificate in Battleground. Pogo the Clown. I never said no. Let's do it. You know, or whatever. So at least I can say, even though I got beat, hey, man, it was against big dudes, headhunters. Mike, you saw me get splashed by the headhunters. You know, but when I got that offer, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know? Gata Morgan hit me with a clothesline one time that almost took my head off. But that's what I'm – at least I can say I didn't have to go beat up smaller wrestlers that were just starting or whatever. I paid my dues with people who can go.
I get it, but have you ever thought, like, take Nakamura. You know he's happier with the schedule that he has, that he can go surfing. He's happier with the schedule he has now than he did in New Japan. He has more time off to do whatever he wants to do and make good money. If he really was upset, he could have said no, right? And then that match could have turned into a just all out shoot. It could have got ugly. He could have made it that way.
Are you trying to get in with Triple H? Is there something I don't know about?
No. I'm just being honest. If he did not like what was going on, he could have threw a big time monkey wrench, and he could have started shooting on Dragunov, and I don't know if Dragunov could have taken it.
No, absolutely not.
He could have showed who the baddest person in the ring was that night.
But
he was getting paid. He's getting paid.
This is what I'm saying. Okay, I work a lot of hours. I work hard for my money, bro. If I'm gonna buy a pay per view, it takes a lot. So. Okay, we got pay-per-views coming up, right? I got the last AEW because, you know Will Ospreay and then we're going to deliver. I mean, that was a given. Yeah. But we also got Pac against Okada. And, I mean, there were some good matches, that whole thing that was stacked. So there's another one coming up, but I'm definitely going to get the Forbidden Door. Because that's going to be – AEW is going to be bringing in some New Japan guys and stuff like that. And that's what I want to see. You know what I mean? I don't want to see somebody get murdered on TV. Or I don't care. Okay, you beat up. That's just like the boxers that they got – they're 22-0 and they fight a guy that's got like 8 losses and 3 wins. Dude, what does that prove? Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? That's – I just would like wrestling to be a little bit more believable and not such a joke. You can't, or professional. You kind of get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. But
I go back to what Kevin Sullivan said to me.
Uh-huh.
It's evolving. It's evolving. And we have to evolve with it, but we can still be old school, but we have to evolve with what, how the times are. This is, and Marvin said it, this new generation of rappers is totally different. They don't have the mindset. They don't have the mindset you had. They don't have the mindset that old school wrestlers had. They don't.
Okay.
They won't talk that. They won't talk that. So
I tell you what.
You can't expect it. It's one thing to take somebody under your wing and have them want to learn the way in which you were taught, want to learn the old school way. It's one thing to have that. It's another thing to try to teach these guys this, and it seems as though you're pressing. like you're infringing. You understand what I'm saying? Because they don't want to hear from you. They don't want to hear about old school. Because
okay.
All they know is what they've been taught now, and what people have shown in their head about high spots and how wrestling, today's wrestling is.
Okay.
You know,
I'm
glad that there's more wrestlers now that want to be involved in storytelling.
Okay. Well, that's great. But anyway, let me take a break. Okay. If Lisa doesn't call in or whatever, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. We have the first round matches set. Let's go over them, and then we'll kind of bring this into the conversation. So for the people listening to us, we're going to take a break. If Lisa calls in, we'll go ahead and talk to PFL. But if not, we'll talk about the big PWA show that's coming up July 13th. It's the tournament for the first ever Pacific Wrestling Alliance heavyweight title. Okay, the belt is bad. And we've been working on it for a long time. So we got the matchups, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And because Mike and I gave a few underdogs a chance, because when Mike and I were talking, if a wrestler comes up to me and says, "Hey, bro, you know, give me that chance, man. If I disappoint you, you never have to book me again." And I like somebody who's hungry like that. So let me take that break, and then we'll talk about it. All right, Mike?
Yep, let's go.
When Mike's talking about, well, the old school, and we got, I want to do this. I want to put the brake. We'll be right back. Hang on, Balance Drive. Sending me messages and stuff like that. But anyways, for the people listening, you hear. I'm trying to keep my composure. We're like, dude, you are such a don't. You sound like a grizzled old man like Bret Hart. I'm like, that's exactly what. Because you see him, and all he does is complain and is and bitches. And I'm like, he's such a good worker. Just let it go, bro. And that's you.
And I look. Then I called you a grizzled old man yesterday. I was like, goodbye, you grizzled old man.
Yeah, I gotta evolve or something, man. I, you know, let's jump into the 21st century. But anyway,
you're getting there, but you know, you're still holding on.
It's taking a lot. It's taking a lot. But real quick for the people listening to you here, you're at Scoop Slam Radio. Make sure you check it out. I sent Lisa another text to see if she wants to. She said she was sparring and she usually finishes about 8 o'clock. So I told her we'll try to go till about 8:30 or whatever, so we can try to get you in. But anyways, you know, the first round is set. You know, and it took a lot.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it took a lot. Some of the stuff that Mike wanted to put in there, I'm like, oh, but he's like, bro, if we do this, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. And a lot of stuff with me too. And the first round matchup, when we talked about it, you know, Jimmy Mayhem is going to take on Louis Alfaro, who is Louis now. And when we talked about that, Mike's like, dude, you know, Jimmy's like 6'4", and, you know, Louis's like 5'11", and he's – and I go, but you know what, though? When somebody calls me as a booker and says, look, bro, you know, I know, you know, I've been working for a while and stuff like that, and I need somebody to bring it out in me. And, you know, if you give me the chance, I'll do you proud, man. I'm working on it. I'm getting myself in shape. I really would like a chance or whatever, especially for something like this, you know, the first ever PWA heavyweight championship. So when I first brought it to Mike, he's like, well, what do you think? I said, hey, man, I'm all about giving somebody a shot. If you're hungry, this is your shot. But when you come up to me and say, hey, bro, if I'm gonna come and give it 100%. If you don't think it's enough, you don't like it, you never have to book me again, bro. No hard feelings. That is the topper. And that's when Mike said, okay, I mean, we're going to give him that shot. So you kind of get what I'm talking about there, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I laugh because, you know, when I go to the shows, I usually sit by myself. And, you know, the guys will walk by. And I won't say nothing. I'll look at them just to see if they're gonna acknowledge, you know, say hi to me. And they'll walk by, then they'll walk by a second time. Like that's what Louis did. And then I'm like, hey, how you doing? And he stopped and he goes, hi, how are you? And I'm like,
But you know what? I wrestled him. I wrestled him a couple of times in Orange County for Mark Ortiz or whatever. And you know, I it took a lot for me to bring it out in him, you know. But once I brought it out in him, we kind of went back and forth, and it worked out well. I mean, his parents came up and said, hey, man, you had us worried for a minute. I said, hey, well, we got to, you know, this ain't no joke. And, oh, okay, you know. So I think it's there, and I think Jimmy's either going to make or break him. Either Louis's going to toughen up and show us what he's got, or he's going to fold. So, you know
what
I'm saying?
My only thing is this. Stop smiling so much in the ring.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Mr. Nice Guy in the ring.
Yeah.
When you're in the ring, show some physicality.
Yeah, you
got to a little bit.
Bite down on your mouthpiece and go.
And go. Just go.
Yeah.
Because, again,
then,
you want the people to come back to see you, but what are you giving them?
Yeah.
Give them a reason to come back to see you.
Well, this is it. He, this is the shot. I mean, this is his, you know, there doesn't get any bigger than being in a tournament for the first ever, you know, heavyweight champion or whatever. That's
right.
So I think he's taking it serious. You know, that's a big order for him and Jimmy Mayhem, because I believe in Jimmy. I mean, I've seen him have some matches. We've seen him at Anoki Dojo have some good matches, you know. So I think he's going to do well. I really do. Right?
Now, did you ask him to do his other persona?
No, don't say. We're working on that, man. If he comes,
I just asked the question.
If it comes to fruition, man, that crowd's gonna pop big time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's why I said I didn't say the whole thing. I wasn't going.
It's just gonna be. Just gonna be peace, love, and soul. So we're looking forward to that. And Afro Sheen and Ultra Sheen Cosmetics. We're going to bring down Cornelius lookalike and have him do some announcing for us. But anyways.
No, you're not going to have all that grease all over the ring.
Don't get crazy.
Don't get crazy.
Then we got Guy Cool against American Punk. Now, when that match, when Mike and I talked about it, I saw them go at it at 3PW. Mike was out of town, so I went to go check out that because it was a cage match at the end. And Guy Cool, for whatever, he almost literally, I thought he was going to die. I seriously thought he was going to die because he was fighting with Tony Reyes. and they were going after it, and he was at the top of the cage, and Tony, I think he tried to grab him, and he fell on the other side, and he landed on top of, I think he landed on top of either, it was either Ruben Iglesias or Cayenne. One of the, or maybe even AJ, they were all on that side. But he luckily, they were walking back to the dressing room, and he landed right on top of him. Because if not, he would have hit all cement, dude, from the top of the cage. So it just goes to show, when it comes time, Guy Cool can take it to another level, you know. But going up against American Punk, who this dude, if you want to talk about hungry, I mean, how many times have you thought, bro, I want that shot, bro. Let me know what's up. Hey, bro, when's the next show? When are you going to put that tournament together? I mean, he was literally on us, right, to get him on that tournament.
Yeah, because, you know, he's a nut. He's like, I ain't got much longer to go, and I want to hold the belt.
Yeah.
So put me in that tournament. I won't do you wrong. It's like, you know, how can I tell Punk no? You know,
yeah,
after the showings, you know, he's
hungry.
Justified. Oh yeah, he is.
He's hungry. And then
he is.
In the third match of the tournament, who we talked about earlier, which is when you talk about Lucha, is Cayam against Volkan Jr. So Volkan Jr. I've known for a while, and we were talking at the Lucha Libre Alliance show, and he's like, hey, bro, what happened to me? Did you forget about him? I'm like, nah, man. I said, you know, to be honest with you, now that we're sitting here talking, why are you not in that tournament? Dude, I've been overlooked. You know, you've seen what I can do at Lucha Pro and Lucha Libre Alliance and stuff like that. Give me that shot, bro. And I go, well, how about if we put you against Cayam in the first round? Absolutely. I didn't even blink, didn't even bat an eye. And when we talked to Cayam and said, look, bro, this is what we got for you, he said, that is perfect. Perfect. That's what I want. Younger dude, a little bit bigger than me. Let's take it to another level. So that right there, it's the solidification, if that's the word, for the tournament, right?
Yeah, I think Cayenne is driven to wear this championship belt. I think he wants to prove to himself that, you know, for this last run, he got it. He still got it.
Yeah.
And when winning this belt, you know, will prove that. Volkan Jr., he's still, dude, he's up and coming, but he's very exciting. And, you know, he could upset Cayenne. Cayenne doesn't come into his head, right?
Definitely.
You know, so that's going to be one hell of a match.
And it just,
most definitely.
It makes for an interesting matchup. So when you talk about an interesting matchup, the last match in the tournament in the first round is going to be AJ Mana, the Samoan shooter, against somebody who, when we talked to Jimmy Mayhem, gave us a call and said, dude, what about me? And it was Boom Shasta. And I'm like, I'm like, dude, this is not that we're patting ourselves on the back, but this just goes to the credit of ever since we did the big show at the PWA Tag Team Trophy, it solidified the company as a company that if you come to this show, people are going to see you and people are going to know who you are, and it's going to put you on another level. That's what happened with Boom Shasta. He's like, bro, this was great, man. I mean, you know, it was a great atmosphere. Jimmy, on that day, Jimmy wasn't as 100%. But once he heard that music and he saw that crowd, Mike, did he just switch gears and was on another level?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Totally.
So now, Boom
and
wants to be a part of it.
And, you know, I want to see if there's any residual effect from the end of that tournament when Boom and Jimmy got a ring and started going off, you know, talking crazy to AJ Jesus. Forget about it.
AJ and Beto. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see if something goes awry.
That's what makes it interesting, bro. Whoever comes out, you know, the four guys that come out of the first, you know, the first round is going to be interesting because it's going to be people who had to work for it, and it's just going to keep mm-hmm. getting tougher. You know what I mean? You go on to the second round, it's going to be even tougher. And then when you get to the finals, it's going to take a lot to get that over whoever the two wrestlers that make it to the finals. You know what I'm saying? Mike and I talk a lot. And when we go to these shows and we talk a lot with AJ, and he's just as hungry. You know, I would, you know, this isn't NCAA brackets or whatever, but he's got to be the number one seed because when I see him and I look at Mike and I go, dude, that dude looks like a wrestler. You could tell he's putting in the time. He not only in the weight room and stuff like that, he is working on his wrestling, and to become well-rounded, he's not only working here, he's working Lucha Libre Alliance, he's going back up north and working with the Samoanos or whatever. So to me, that makes for somebody who not only is hungry, but is working on being well-rounded. So when you want to become a world champion or a heavyweight champion, there's no you could take on all comers. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, so I would have to put him up there, bro, as the number one seed.
Well, he's got a lot to do. And, you know, I'm fingers crossed, I'm hoping that he and American Punk get through, because I want to see them go one-on-one.
Well,
so hopefully,
but
if all things fall into place, We may get that, but we may not. So,
when we talk about that,
go ahead.
Dude, Jimmy Mayhem has got to be chomping at the bit to get back because when he took that splash, I mean, not only with the pictures and all that, he's hurt. You know, all Jimmy's been hearing is like, dude, that splash was from the ceiling, whatever. And he's like, bro, you wait. I'm coming back, and I'm gonna, you know, really put forth an effort. So, other than Boom Shasta and Louis, all these other guys have had a chance to wrestle in PWA and see what it's about and see, you know, what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? So, we in this first just to get through the first round. It is going to be something. And, you know, American Punk's been working out, too. I talked to him, I think it was at the last PWA show or whatever. He's like, bro, I'm in the gym. I'm training.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, working. He shows up to everything. He shows up to every live broadcast. So he's got to be the number two seed, right?
Oh,
I mean, seeding just sounds stupid, but when I'm looking at this in a bracket-style thing, That's what I'm looking at, you know. And then Kayam, who's a well-seasoned veteran, who's seen it all and done it all, right? You kind of got to put him third, right?
Yeah, he can be a solid three. I think it would be a toss-up between him and Guy Cool.
Yeah.
Number three, but I would lean more towards Kayam just because of his experience.
And if we saw Kayam against AJ in the finals, I mean, you want to talk about an international match, you know, the Samoan shooter against the well-rounded Lucha Libre professional or whatever. So the possibilities are endless. And then you always have that in the back of your mind about the underdog. I mean, if Louis, you know, if he is serious and he's training and he really wants it, he could come out of nowhere. I mean, that would be the surprise of the surprise, and I mean, you want to talk about the ultimate underdog, but why not? And then, like I said, Guy Cool, when you get him into something like this type of tournament, he goes to another level, and he's in shape, bro. Have you seen him lately?
Yeah.
Dude, he is in shape. I have never seen him in this good a shape. And it's funny, I don't know if he's messing with me or whatever, but I'm like, dude, you're in shape, bro. Well, not that you weren't before. He goes, no, I've been really working on it. And I go, well, what have you been doing? He goes, well, I cleaned up my diet and I walk a lot of dogs. He goes, I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, dude, I'm walking dogs all day. I mean, it's just up and back, and they're tugging at me, and I'm pulling, and we're going back and forth. He goes, best workout I ever had. So I don't know, dude. Maybe there's something to being a dog walker or something. But
wow.
Whatever it is, he's doing something right because he is in shape. But anyways, Mike, I'm looking forward to it, man. I mean, you of all people know how hard we've been working, you know, to put it together and get it done and stuff like that. So, you know, the people who are going to benefit from it are going to be the fans.
Well, not to divulge too much, but I sent you a picture of the plate. What did you think?
Yeah, that's a nice belt, man. That's nice. That's a nice belt for the first ever Pacific Wrestling Alliance champion. So, and it just, and once you put that bad boy on display, and these wrestlers see, you know, what they're working for, that's going to propel them to another level, and they're going to start pushing and getting it. Because everybody, you know, when you go do a live broadcast or you go, you know, make an appearance or something or whatever, and you got that belt, people are like, bro, this dude got fun. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, and I think once we unveil this thing, people are going to be like, hey, man, I want to come work over there.
Yeah.
I want to come wrestle for that belt.
Yeah.
It's unique, you guys.
Unlike WWE, that's a legit company with a legit belt with legit wrestlers. Yeah, I said it.
Right.
I just dropped all my papers. Hold on. Sorry. I just get passionate, dude, because we work so hard, man. You and I work all day, and, you know, we make – and Mike is like, bro, I was going to hit the gym today. I'm like, dude, we got to meet, bro. I got this going on, and we got this going on. And he's like, But every meeting, we come out and go, yeah, that was worth it, because now we got this going on, and now we got this. And so when it all comes together on July 13th at Metroflex Outdoor Arena or whatever, you're going to see – what we're talking about. There's a surprise match that's definitely going to happen. We're working on another one that hopefully by the end of the week, if all that comes to fruition, it's just going to be that much more. So we just want everybody to stay tuned, right?
Oh, man. It's going to – if that match comes to fruition – the card is going to be. I mean, it's off the hook already, but it's going. That's just going to put it over the top. And,
definitely.
You know. That's what we want to bring to the fans.
Let me take this last break so we can come back and get out of here. You know, because we've been talking a lot about this, and we're going to have to start. Mike's going to be gone, and when he comes back, you know, we should have the belt. We should have all the matches that we're working on beside the tournament wrapped up, either yay or nay, and we're going to be ready to go. So that's what we're working on. Come show day, we're just going to push the play button, and it's going to go. So let me take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap everything up. When everything comes to fruition and Mike comes back from Chicago or wherever he's going, it's going to sound like this.
Why, hello there, and welcome.
It's funny, bro, because when I do this, it reminds me of Machine Gun Carl Anderson, I think they're at NXT now or whatever, but he goes, you know, the thing is, it's supposed to be that, he goes, but they do a shotgun, at the beginning, because he goes, like that. He goes, but when it's a shotgun, it goes, boom, and that's it, so they mix the two, and now it goes, hey, sometimes you got to be in the mix. But anyways, Mike,
hey,
a million thank yous. You know, when
by the way,
go ahead.
Hold on, because I'm gone. We're still going to be able to do a show next Tuesday.
Oh, you're going to do Charlotte, North
Ohio.
Carolina, wherever you're going?
I'll be able to do it from Ohio, yeah.
Hey, Ohio.
It may be 10 o'clock. It may be 10 o'clock. Ohio time.
Okay.
I'm going to be down in the basement. We'll still do so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me. I already have the lineup. So you want me to go ahead and talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure.
That's why I did it. We're going to have Machine Gun Carl Anderson, the villain Marty Scurll, Rocky Romero, Kazushi Sakuraba, and we're working on Shinjiro Otani, not the baseball player,
wow.
The wrestler. So we got a full lineup, bro. Ken Shamrock. We got a whole bunch of people coming on. So I'll keep you posted on that. How's that?
Damn, I can't wait.
All right, Mike. Hey, appreciate Marvin coming on, Mr. California. Big show coming up on May 25th. Like I said, bro, it's my anniversary, and I had to do a lot to make that show because Headhunters, Marta Villalobos, and Madre Way. Nivanti gave me a beating worse than all three of them combined, so I had to work that out. But definitely come and check it out. He's going to be wrestling Crazy Frank. From what I hear, they're going to throw him off the roof. I don't know, something's going on or whatever. So make sure you come and check it out. Didn't get Lisa Marie to call in or whatever. You know, but, Mike, I told you with these fighters, they forget. Dude, you know, they're like sparring and everything, and then they'll look. I'll probably get a text at about 9:30. She'll go, bro, forgot all about you or whatever. But we're used to it, so don't even worry about it. So, all right, Mike, any last words before we get out? Give us a few last words. And then at the end, I want you to say, with that being said, I want to wish you peace, love, and soul. Let's do that.
Sorry, that ain't going to happen.
People all over the world.
But you stupid. You guys.
I was at Jordan High in Long Beach, okay? And it was my junior year, and I was playing basketball. Don't ask me why. I wasn't bad. But anyways, Lonnie Wolf was one of my teammates, and we went to practice, and he said, you know what? You know, we can't get the gym because varsity's taking it, so we're going to have to practice on Saturdays, and it's going to be at this time. And Lonnie Wolf turns to me and goes, dude, I'm going to miss Soul Train. And and he was like dead serious. I was
dead
not
serious.
Laughing or nothing. Yeah, he was dead serious. So go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
Hey, but you got to remember, that's when Soul Train was happening.
Yeah.
Everybody came on Soul Train.
I don't even want to tell you what year that was.
It had to be 1983, 84.
Oh, no, it was 82. You were close.
Dang. Oh, yeah, you got. Nah, but you know what, you guys, everybody, pay attention to what we're getting ready to do.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be huge.
As Fabi likes to say, we're about to do some damage.
Big time.
So keep your eye on PWA. We've been silent for a while, but it's for a reason. We want to make sure we get all of our ducks in a row, because when we do come, we're going to make some noise. People are going to see what we do. They're going to shiver in their boots because they're going to see we're new kids on the block and we got something to prove.
Yeah.
And being the number one company here in Southern California is what our goal is. And we're going to make it. So stay tuned, y'all. We're coming.
Definitely look forward to it. If everything comes to fruition and we're able to do what we're working on to the fullest, hopefully it'll be wrapped up by next week, and then we'll talk to Mike while he's out there in Ohio, and everybody's just going to be like this. All right, Mike, I'll see you here next week on Scoop Slam Radio. Anything major comes up, let me know. All right, my man?
Oh, yeah, you know, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. So, hey, on behalf of myself and Fabi Chulo, we'll see y'all next week. Is that right, Fabi?
That's what I'm talking about.
Soundstripe.